The first reading comes from Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against us, that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, Say to the entire Israelite community, Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, No one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left, and keep it until morning. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second reading comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, We'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Jesus said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. This is the word of the Lord.
I speak to God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word read to us today. We pray that you would open our hearts to hear you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as we gather this morning to celebrate Harvest Festival, we are so grateful to worship a God of abundance, a God who provides for our every need. And in nature, you might have noticed this year we're celebrating a mast year, which I recently learned. And it happens every few years where the trees produce an abundant amount of crop to kind of ensure their survival. And so you might have seen copious amounts of produce on the ground as you've walked about, many acorns and beechnuts, and pears and zebrosiara rails, and many sloes. And I was thinking about this mast year, and I really believe we've had a mast year at the church.
Yes.
God has been powerfully at work amongst us, bringing growth, bringing new people along, and seeing people come to faith for the first time. But also a multiplying of our joy, and seeing God's provision for all of the needs of the church. Take our new loo as a case in point, the even song that we were able to host because of generous donors, the Poppy Project that's now been rolled out into every village, and the community pantry filled and providing for many. We've really seen a mast year in terms of what God's done here. And as we acknowledge our gratitude for these things and our thankfulness to God as our provider, as the one who provides for each of us, there is also a practical response called for from us. See, I believe as we see blessing from God, we're called to be people who are generous, to see God's abundant grace for us, and choose to give abundantly to those around us and those in need. Not to hoard God's many blessings, but to open up the doors of the church, our pockets, our homes, our lives, to share God's blessing out with those in our parish and our neighbouring villages, and those in the wider world that are so in need. And this is something that God is teaching the Israelites in today's passage as we continue in our series on Exodus. We've seen an ongoing theme in the first half of the book of Exodus of God testing Moses' faith through displays of God's mighty power and trying to show Moses that he could trust God completely. And we're now seeing this pattern begin with the wider people of God. In verse 4 of our passage today, God says he's going to test the people to see whether they will follow his instructions in trusting God to provide for them. But sadly, we see that they're almost as hopeless as Moses was at the beginning of Exodus in responding in faith to what God does. But first, to set the scene and to give the Israelites some credit, they're wandering in the desert after crossing through the Red Sea. And it's possible they've gone 45 days without food. The text says at the beginning, just before we read, that this is the 50th day of the second month, so around 45 days. And we haven't heard of any food appearing up until now. We know that they left Egypt in a hurry, and so they might not have brought much food with them. And we also know the deserts aren't renowned for their bountiful food. So they're probably very hungry at this point. And in the previous chapter, there is a similar scene of God providing water for the grumbling Israelites. They're complaining that they're thirsty. And God again says he will test them, provide for the water, and they are satiated. But when it comes to food, they're not yet anticipating another miracle, even though they've just seen one. They've returned to grumbling, and they're thinking back to the glorious meat and bread that they had in Egypt, with those rose-tinted lenses we keep seeing popping up as they miss things in Egypt and worry about the present circumstance. And so God says he's going to test them again. He will provide, but he'll provide exactly enough for them for each day. He tells them he will rain down bread and they're to gather only enough for that day. He said in verse 4. He's not going to allow them to hoard what he provides to save for the future, but instead, he's going to teach them to rely on him for their daily bread, quite literally, and to have to trust him in the waiting in between, which is a vital lesson to learn. And I realised this sort of parallels something God was teaching them at the Red Sea, and Liz spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about the parting of the Red Sea. And Moses, when he's speaking to the people and saying, this is what God says, says that God says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And he's saying to him, you can put all of your trust and your hope in God, the mighty God you've seen work so many wonders up until now, and he can achieve anything. They then get to see the most enormous display of God's power in the parting of the Red Sea. And in chapter 15, it puts it like this, and I love this image. It says, at the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. What a picture of God's power, that just the breath of his nostrils failed apart an entire sea. And after seeing that, they still doubt now that God will provide their bread. It seems something so basic, obviously something so essential. But they're still worried. And I think you could sub in here that phrase, the Lord will provide to you. You need only to be still. They struggle to trust God for provision of food in the first place. And then when food does eventually appear, and they're instructed to collect only enough for the day, some of them gather up more than they need anyway in an attempt to cover themselves for the future. But it starts to rot, and so we're told in verse 20 that Moses is angry with the people, likely for their lack of faith, but also for their lack of listening to the very clear commandments of God. This is a huge spiritual battle for the people of God, both then and for us. The question is, are we going to trust in God's provision, or are we going to panic and try and fix things for ourselves? And then when God does provide, are we able to stay still and not try to hoard the provision, fearing still for our future, but are we able to be open-handed and generous with what God provides to us? I don't know if these worries sound familiar to you. And the truth is, it's a really hard thing to do in reality, to trust God for everything we need. And a few years ago, I was very worried about money in a patch of life, and it was a real struggle to pay my rent each month. And I have seen some amazing miracles with regards to money. I have seen God provide in amazing ways. But still, I got to the end of each month, and the sense of panic rose up in me, thinking, I'm not actually going to pay my rent this month. And one week, I kept waking up in the middle of the night, at exactly sometime around 4 a.m, which is very unusual for me. I normally sleep up a lot and never wake up at all, because it was very weird. And after the third night, I realised that when I glanced at the clock, every night it had been exactly 4:19 a.m, which is very specific. But I thought it was strange and I just ignored it. Anyway, I told my housemate the next day about what was happening, and they said, Monique, do you think God might be waking up in the night to talk to you? And I thought that was crazy, but as we've talked more about it, God does learn about people in the Bible to talk to them in the middle of the night. And so the next night, when I woke up, bolt awake at 4:19 in the morning, I said, and I will admit, I was very grumpy, I hate being woken up, but I grumpily said to God, like the Israelites, what is it you want to say to me? And he just said, go to Philippians. So I opened Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the time I've been waking up. And I was bowled over when I turned to it, and it said, my God will supply all your needs, amen, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. What a promise from God. He provides for us. That he sees where we feel we lack, that he fills in the gaps. But more than that, he gives abundantly out of his riches. We have no need to turn to worry, to live in fear of scarcity when we trust in a God like this. But do you know what makes that verse even more profound in Philippians? Paul is saying that verse to believers in Macedonia who were generous to him and part of their little. They didn't have loads of money. They were a new, small, struggling church. But they gave to Paul to support his mission work. And Paul is saying, because of their generosity and that heart of generosity that they had, God will supply all their needs. They need not fear for the future. You see, as Christians, we operate within this cycle or economy of grace. We receive freely from God, which we mark in particular at Thanksgiving and harvest time. And so we give freely, and it's a beautiful economy. It's a beautiful way to live and a real witness to our neighbours. As our passage tells us in verse 18, this pattern of God's is at work here in the story. God provides the food, and it says, those who gathered much did not have too much, and those who gathered little did not have too little. Don't we wish that was the way in the world today? And I was struck in my reading this week, and I'm currently finishing up my dissertation, is after reading about a guy called Paul Farmer, and he was a medic, and he's worked among the poorest of the poor all across the world. And he writes about a Haitian proverb, which says, God gives but doesn't share. God gives humans everything we need to flourish, is how he explains this phrase. But God isn't the one that's mostly digging up the loot. That charge was laid upon us. And we see so much need and lack in the world, so much suffering around us. And there is a calling placed upon us. We have been blessed by God. Look at all this food behind us. So much food that we feed people for weeks. And look out into the world of last years upon us, the trees overladen with crop. Look at this Bible passage. I see the God who cares for his people, who provides for them, even though they're very grumpy, just like me. And the God who provided for me when I was in need and kindly woke me up 4 nights in Rome to remember to listen to him. He is so kind to us and so generous to us. Our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So God is so good and his gifts are abundant. We can trust him completely with all that we might worry about. And I wonder today what this picture of abundant God has to say to you. Maybe you're in need right now, but not just financially, but maybe spiritually or mentally, you might be in need. You might be like I was, waking up in a panic and wondering what's going to happen next. And you need to hear God's reassurance today that he sees you and he will provide for you. You need only be still and trust in him. So maybe you've seen God's provision and you've been blessed, but you've fallen into the trap of hoarding those blessings, of sitting back with all muchness like the Israelites were. But blessings aren't to be shared. As for the Israelites, it's wasted if it's hoarded. And this might be one that should be assessed how you give of your money, your time, your resources, whatever it is that you have in your hands to give to the kingdom of God. Maybe you've been blessed by God and you really want to be generous with it, but you just don't know where to start. And so I have this lovely friend called Zoe, and she has a little life principle, which is never resist a generous impulse. And I love that. It's so simple, and it's something you can remember. And it's a great place to start. You might be out for coffee with a friend. You might think, it popped into your head, go on, just go get a coffee. And just do it. Just act on any impulses you feel to be generous. But it's hard to do otherwise. You might see someone asking for money towards a community project. If you could get a nudge, just go for it. If you hear that we need more people to serve coffee at Fig Marks, just go for it. If you have a heart for children and want to get involved with kids' work, just jump. Don't think about it, just do it. And maybe you've been blessed by God and you're living generously already. And so at harvest time, we turn to God to thank him. To thank him for his blessings, and also to pray for continued openness and life towards God and his purposes in the world, and seeing how we can play a part in that. And so to end the letter. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that every good gift comes from you. Thank you that you are a God who deals with us abundantly. You love to pour out your blessing and the grace of your assurance. Come now and still our hearts where there may be worries. Soften our hearts where we might be ungenerous. Enlarge our hearts with gratitude for you and the lives you've given us. Use us today, God, to bless your people in Westfield and Fulham Field. In Jesus' name, Amen.